fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news in the studio with Dan Dugan.
The other guy on the other side in the midst of the Green Renaissance on WGRN.
94.1.
Right here in Columbus, Ohio. We hope you're out there listening to us. There's a ton to talk about, and a lot of it's extremely sad, but also enlightening and encouraging. We have guns, guns, and more guns, Robert.
Well, as you well know, the line is, send lawyers, guns, and money.
I heard that, man.
The S-hole.
Yeah.
Supporters have hit the fan.
Yeah, and there are children standing up to be counted. And as one of them so aptly said, when leaders act like children, then the children must lead. And this week has been a fine example of that.
So what was your thought? Is somebody with a child, the shootings, do you want your kid out there protesting?
Sure, absolutely. I tried to contact my my ex today, my friend Tracy Zollinger Turner, still the mother of my wonderful child, Declan Lyle Dugan, because I would have expected that 12-year-old was probably already at an event, so I was trying to find out if they had been to one. Lots of kids across the country are standing up right here in Columbus. Upper Arlington and Worthington students have walked out, and they are standing up to be counted. And good for them, because this has gone on long enough, as we all know. And as the one kid pointed out, he's not a crisis actor. So,
which was bizarre, the fact that they would be labeled crisis actors, a few of them, particularly the young man down in Florida.
Right. He kind of looked like that one movie star.
And then there was a correction by
one
of the Trumpites.
Yeah,
said that, well, it just meant they were using people trained in the drama department of high school.
Right, so. And then the kid said something about if they'd seen our production of Fiddler on the Roof, they would know we're not actors. That's brilliant. I love that. By the way, my high school, Newark High, we did a great production of Fiddler on the Roof. But that's beside the point.
For some reason, I was thinking Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
With you playing Nathan Newark.
No, but I was the music man's best friend, and I sang the song Shapoopy.
I'm not familiar with that song.
Oh, well, it's not, there were bells on the hill when
I
never heard him sing.
I know the pool song. I know it rhymes with pool.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, we're going to get back to the G for a minute. They went
the gangsta?
The G as in guns again. And, of course, all good gangsters got guns, and all God's children got guns, as the Marx Brothers remind us. But they went and spoke to, our commander-in-chief, and he was in the listening mode.
Right, and I recall seeing it on TV, and
yeah.
It was in the somebody or I have written stuff talking points
yes.
on paper. And he had the one you could clearly see is, I hear you.
I hear you. Yeah, well, he's practiced that well. You know, his own staff says
I hear you, Dan.
Excellent. I'm glad. You're trying to read my notes. You won't be able to. but nonetheless, his own staff has said that the man can't hold an attention span longer than 2 minutes. So
I hear you.
That a boy, Bob. I feel like we're on Spinal Tap here. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. So yes, they went and spoke to Trump. Not much good that it will do. And again, he was listening.
Yeah,
he went and spoke to the NRA. And Wayne LaPierre spoke for the NRA because they're on the attack because their Second Amendment rights have been abridged already by opportunist politicians.
You can barely do an illegal gun deal anymore without somebody criticizing you.
Jeez. What kind of country is this becoming? But as someone pointed out recently, regulation, the only place it appears in the Constitution is in or regulated. And let me correct that. As in the militia, a well-regulated militia. The only place that that appears in the Constitution is in the Second Amendment. Anyway.
And it's a little comma there, and it's always thought that the guns had something to do with the militia. And even so, I mean, look at the First Amendment. These rights are not unlimited. You can't have a tank.
Right.
You can't have a rocket launcher.
In a crowded theater.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, Bob.
I mean, look, even speech. Someone can't come in when I'm lecturing in my class claiming free speech with a megaphone.
If they're armed, they can.
Well, yeah.
But if the teacher's armed, then you got a problem, you know.
Well, what is the problem there?
Jeez. I guess no problem at all because, you know. And, oh, here's what I like, too, is that Mr. Trump has pointed out that if the teachers were armed, you know, they could get a little bonus. They could take a class and learn how to be properly trained.
Well, yeah, I like it. I'm close to retirement.
Safety.
And I don't see
I know. You're a teacher. Are you ready? You ready to go packing? But you'll get a bonus, Bob. It's extra money for you, babe. Come on. I know you got to pay off those taxes that are still bothering you.
Does it apply to my retirement?
Maybe. It could. And if you invest it wisely.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, the NRA, by the way, this kid that did the shooting last week was trained in by the NRA, I guess an air rifle shooting. So he had been trained as a bit of a marksman, but, you know, who needs to be a marksman when you got an AR-15, right?
Right, in a high-capacity magazine, a good, banana clip or 30-rounder in there.
Don't know my guns very well, unfortunately, but I used to shoot BB guns. Matter of fact, we used to have battles. If it hit you in the head, it didn't count. But anyway, I wish that was the way now. But the NRA, by the way, was described by Mr. Trump as good people, patriots who love their country. So,
well, because of the type of people as patriots, they're not un-American. They're the kind that will clap when Trump gives a speech.
There you go. Yeah. Not like those people in Congress. They love their country.
They're not treasonous.
And you know who else loves her country? Melania Trump. She really loves her country so much so she's going to bring her parents here.
Slovakia, Slovenia, which one is it again?
I believe they're one Slovenian, Bob.
One of the S's, Slovenian.
What would a Macedonian
Dobar,
or is it Macedonian? But doesn't this bring up some sort of a chain migration if she's bringing her parents into the country?
It sure sounds like chain migration. Next, her cousin Hugo is coming in.
Her parents are probably nice people, but, you know, it's I hate to say it, but the hypocrisy on the part of the right is always something that gets me a little charged, even more charged.
Her great aunt will be in here next.
Yeah, and yes, and cousin Laszlo, you know, from out in the fields. Outstanding in his field, I'm sure he was. As was Billy Graham, you know.
Billy
Outstanding
Graham?
Outstanding in his field. He was, well, he said he was selling the product that was the best in the history of the world, so, right?
And what would that be? That was salvation
from Jesus?
I think it was God.
I think it was God, yeah. God and Jesus. You know, what I think it is you buy the God, you get the Jesus with it. Isn't that how it goes?
Well, it depends. A lot of religions have God. Only one.
Has Jesus?
Has Jesus.
Wow, that's impressive.
And again, I think the dramatic pause when you say Jesus is important.
Yes.
Billy Graham, who really was made by, the Hearst Corporation.
Really?
William Randolph Hearst, who wanted to push him during the Cold War, put him on publications owned by Hearst, put him in magazines, put him in newspapers, because he had mass appeal for evangelical Christianity.
Such a lovable man.
And he supported the Cold War.
Yes. Oh, right. And he worked with Joe McCarthy. Because communism is anti-God and anti-American, correct?
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, and Wayne LaPierre was pointing out that socialism was anti-God and anti-American.
Yeah, particularly Christian socialism, like the Seven Little Amandas. So in the United States,
most... Seven Little Amandas.
The Seven Little... You know them as Amanda Radar Range. A Christian socialist commune in Iowa, which...
I don't know.
I visited on a trip.
Seven Little Amandas.
Where it was so successful as
Amanda,
a Christian.
Iowa?
Yes.
Okay.
That it was so successful as
Amanda,
a Christian commune
that
it became a corporation that gave us the Amanda Radar Range.
And what does this have to do with God? I'm confused.
Well, because they were Christian. In the U.S., most of the early socialists weren't Marxists. They were Christian. They heard this thing called the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
And thought that Christians should feed those that are hungry.
Ah.
And clothe those who are in need.
Wow.
Of clothes. And
no kidding.
Who knew?
So like during the Depression, they like helped other people out or something.
Well, they claim Jesus helped people out who were sick and
Jesus did?
Hungry and needy.
Yeah.
But I prefer
I'm
the
sure
rise.
Billy Graham did.
Well,
too.
The Hearst Press helped in the 1920s do the rise of the corporate Jesus. There was an attempt made quite successfully.
Well, it looks good in a tie, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, the term Jesus, you're thinking about it wrong. There's a book called The Man Nobody Knew. It was a bestseller in the 20s, promoted
it's
by...
It's not like Killing Jesus
corporate
by Bill
America.
O'Reilly.
Corporate America, no, this one is that...
Killing Billy Graham
Jesus,
will be next.
You need to think about Jesus as a CEO and the 12 disciples
absolutely. He's my
as
CEO.
His board of directors.
Yes.
And then they used the parable of the talents,
okay.
Where
when you
were entrusted with wealth, you had to multiply it. So down with the Sermon on the Mount, down with feeding the poor and the hungry, up with the corporate white Jesus.
I guess Billy Graham was also heard on a tape. Do you know anything about this? Talking to Mr. Nixon and
about using some anti-Semitic slurs.
Right. Yes, he was heard to say some mean things about Jewish people. Of course, since they killed Jesus, I guess he has a reason to feel that way. Yeah.
But I
didn't know about this until just after his death, or just this
last
few days.
Yeah, it's been being reported, but you know. Nixon was a notorious bigot. If you listen,
for a Quaker of all things.
Yeah, and it was odd. One of my favorites, to paraphrase, there's one tape when he says, "The Jews, they're all kooky. They're always protesting. They're always." And then it's like
kooky
Italians,
Jews. Those kooky Jews.
The Italians.
Wow.
The problem is...
They're kooky, too, yeah.
The problem is...
My mother
Dan
was
Dugan,
kooky.
The
My
Italians kooky. Are... there's just
kooky
not...
mama. She was Italian.
There's just not any that are trustworthy.
Right.
You just can't trust them.
Right, right.
This is from Richard Nixon, right?
Right, right, right. And Billy Graham's giving him the amen on it, right?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
He came in a little on the Jewish issue. But, Nixon had a variety of problems... with Jews and with Italians. This is WGRN 94.1. No problem with any other ethnic groups at this station. All
right.
Ethnic groups, welcome. Kazakhstani
really?
Walked in here right now.
I just want to get
some
more.
Had a good
more...
idea for a show.
Right.
Bless
WGRN
him.
Is the place to have it
Bless
at 94.1. I just want to get some more Norwegians up in here. You know what I mean?
Well,
apparently
Danny Dugan
has
been lobbying with Trump.
Yeah.
To
more
have
Norwegians, please.
More Norwegians.
More Norwegians.
The Norwegian breakfast hour has been a big success.
Really? Yes. Yeah, sure has. The old Norwegian breakfast hour. Wow. So rest in peace, Mr. Billy Graham. Would you care to discuss Syria at this point, Mr. Vitrakis?
Well, again,
shifting gears.
Syria, Project Censor tells us is based really in Assad refusing to run a pipeline through Syria to Turkey. And Turkey kind of led the revolt, joined by Saudi Arabia, and they've been vilifying Assad. Remember, the Assad regime, actually the father of Assad, fought with George Herbert Walker Bush during the Gulf War against Saddam Hussein. So for some reason,
Coalition of the Willing,
we're
right?
obsessed. Yes. Now, the Coalition of the Willing was with the Iraq War of 2003.
Oh, okay.
Because the Gulf War, they actually had
U.S. sanctions.
Oh, I
see. The Gulf
War
Assad helped.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So a lot of this obsession, a lot of this obsession with taking out these Arab Ba'ath Party strongmen.
Right, exactly.
The problem is when you remove them, it's like taking the lid off the sewer.
Or at least, at the very least, removing the plug from the bathtub.
Jihadists.
Right? Yeah.
Come out of nowhere, right? So we keep, you know, removing Saddam or Gaddafi. We're after Assad now.
Exactly.
But what's going to replace him?
I've heard you
him?
Say this before, and by the way, I don't know if anyone saw Frontline this week. It was absolutely terrifying about, first of all, Iran and Hezbollah and the way in which, you know, we played Iran and Iraq against each other and supported Iraq, etc. But, of course, Syria was right there. All of this is, at this point, though, what we've got is Turkey warning the Russians, right, to not be helping the Kurds. Is that right, or am I confused? We're all there, right?
Right. Well,
and everybody's got
Turkey's
their hand
had
in
a
it.
Long-running problem with the Kurds.
Yeah,
but
of course they
have. Certain rebels backed by the U.S.,
okay,
that have sort of been helping the Kurds.
Yeah.
But the Russians have brought in certain Syrian people to fight the Kurds.
Oh, okay.
But Turkey wants the right to kill the Kurds and deal with them themselves.
Oh, I see.
Because now you've got Russian.
I was confused. Obviously.
Syrian Russians moving Syrian troops into what the Kurds want to be Kurdistan, but there is no Kurdistan because part of it's in Iran, part of it's in Syria, part of it's in Iraq, and part of it's in Turkey. And Turkey actually, during the first Gulf War period, had destroyed 500 Kurdish villages. Burn them to the ground.
Sure.
The Kurds got, like, the worst luck of any major ethnic group, right? There's only...
Since the Armenians.
Yeah, there's, well, at least the Armenia ended
the
up with its own state, right? I mean, the problem is you got about 5,000 major ethnic groups and only 200 nation states. So the as a CIA analyst once said, the Kurds, they're cute, they're cuddly, but of no geostrategic importance to the U.S., so,
yes.
You know, they routinely get annihilated, pushed around, shot, made into refugees.
Well, you know, there was a local patriot that I think he writes for the Free Press that went to Kurdistan. John Petrick?
Read that story.
Oh, it was a wonderful story.
He didn't want to live like a refugee.
Well, he couldn't get to the front lines that were 50 miles away because no one was willing to take him there during Ramadan. I'm sorry, I digress. It's just...
And you made that song
I thought we needed a little humor
a
injected.
Ramadan. Come,
no,
John
it's
told
so...
me a Ramadan.
Precisely, yeah. No, it's so confusing.
So
though,
he went there during Ramadan.
Yes, and he couldn't get anyone to take him
to
the front lines. 50
they were
miles
all in
away.
Prayer.
Right. And so he just hung out, and then he went to Italy and had a nice
time. No, you're not settling old scores. Because,
no, not at all. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
He claimed you stole the demo.
I love Johnny Gaddafi. I love the man. I miss his record store.
And
I used to steal things out of his record store.
And you'll steal his AR-15
yeah,
when you pry his cold dead hand.
Poor man. Poor Johnny. No, seriously, the thing about the whole Syrian situation, being surrounded by all of who they are, plus everybody's involved.
Oh, God bless the Syrians.
And the Turks, one of our last secular governmental friends, I guess.
The only Islamic nation in NATO, so you've got to keep them in line.
The sick man of Europe, they used to call them.
That's right.
I'm glad we went into discussing Syria. At any rate, so speaking of Russians, Shall we discuss the Russians and how, as a result of the investigations that have been going on, there are more indictments, 13 Russians indicted in the investigation by the government, correct?
Yes.
Bob, are you there?
I'm looking at trying
Harvey
to find a quote.
Harvey from...
Well, there were indictments.
Harvey Wasserman from last week. Bob, are you there yet? There you are.
Good. I am here, and I'm hoping...
And also, Manafort, and Manafort is now facing 32 charges of mishandling funds, embezzlement. Is that what it was?
Yeah, there was a ton of stuff. There was so many.
Ton of stuff. 32 charges. Who knows?
Right.
But that just came down.
But again, and you've got the quote floating around from Business Insiders and Reuters saying that Donnie Trump Jr. in 2008.
No, say it ain't so. Little Donnie, my boy.
Little Donnie said, you know, most of our assets are coming from Russia, which again, Business Insider has.
When was this now?
2008.
Okay.
But Business Insider has repeatedly, as has the New Yorker Daily Investment News, suggested Trump's real criminal problem is the Trump family are money launderers for the Russian mafia.
Go on. Do tell.
And again, when about Dubai Project, he said, you know, a large amount of these assets have come in from Russia.
Yeah.
Because when you do illegal stuff, Mr. Dugan,
yes,
I've warned you not to.
I don't know anything about it.
Drug sales, what else? Prostitution, human trafficking, extortion.
Donald Trump and the...
No, not Donald Trump, the Russian mafia.
Ah, okay.
You've got to do something with that filthy money.
Yes.
And the best place to launder it is not a laundromat, but in the dirt.
Next you're going to tell me that they helped build the Trump Tower. Or something.
Well, who knows? I thought that was a more traditional mob with some help from some Polish workers.
Right.
Who were thought to be
We'll
oppressed.
Just hold your green cards for a while you work for vodka. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we have here is the Russian mafia was all over Dubai.
Okay.
Abu Dhabi, places like that. But... say you're building a $500 million project.
Let's just say you.
Let's say it has the Trump name on it.
It's just like last week.
Say if you need to launder money, you can put gold-plated, you know, pipes wherever you want.
And that's a lovely thing.
Is that
nothing like a nice gold-plated
launder,
pipe.
Right? Yeah. Usually a good money launder is going to get 10% of the money that they launder.
Yeah.
And
so,
who knows, you might get a building out of it for free.
There you go. And it wasn't Donnie in India this week saying that they actually were losing business as a result of the Trump administration.
Yeah, he's claimed that on several occasions.
I can't believe that.
Well, because it makes no logical sense. Because, like many things he says, it appears to be what we would call counterfactual.
I still keep thinking that when Donnie gets indicted, that's when Big Don comes through with a pardon for him.
I think you're right.
Does that make sense to anyone?
There's
Bob,
nothing.
Are you there?
Yeah, there's nothing that says he can't pardon his son.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's
there's nothing that says he can't pardon himself.
That's right, and I think his lawyers. Have said
except
that
maybe us,
and he's got enough ego that you realize that he might, just do it. You know, he's got the chutzpah. You got to admit the man has the chutzpah. He'll say and do just about anything. There appears to be no shame, Mr. Dugan.
No shame.
No shame.
Yeah, shame, shame, shame. Well, what can you say about the Trumps? It isn't getting said all over the world, repeatedly, that they're not very nice, but they really do gold plated well with the gold plated.
They do, and it helps with the money laundering. That's my thought.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Bob, what were you up to this evening before
I was over at the OSU Annex over at 907 Mount Vernon. Yeah. And the NAACP Legal Defense Fund was in town to investigate whether or not the Columbus governmental structure, the seven at-large council people, most of them, five of that seven, appointed, not elected, but appointed, including, you know, the new council president, Shannon Hardin.
A fine young
man. Whose mother was a longtime aide to Michael Coleman. So the question are, I like to think in terms of music, you're a music guy. I like to think of Shannon Hardin as the puppetress of love. He's
the mistress of puppets.
Yeah, Michael Coleman is pulling the strings. So
really?
So, yes.
You do believe this?
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Coleman.
And before him, Zach Klein, right? Zach Klein was Federalist, right-wing, backed the Republican Party, went to the Bush-Cheney inaugural, and then he stuck his finger out and said, Franklin County appears to be Democratic.
Wow.
And then he switched parties.
Go on.
Yes.
How dare you,
they love people like that. They love compromised people. That are willing to do
compromise. They
what
don't
they
do,
want them to do.
Compromise
people
they
like
will.
The Pizzuti money. Right. People who like the Wexter money. People who like white developers who don't live in Columbus to give them all the money for their campaigns.
So what you're saying is that
the last black person that was elected without being appointed first was Jeanette Bradley
yes.
in 1995. The last black person appointed outright.
Elected
outright.
Right.
Every other one was appointed first. And in order to be appointed, you have to have a good resume. You have to never have exerted your independence, never stood up and protested under the First Amendment, and be willing to say, what else do you want, Mr. Wexner?
Really?
Yes.
You're telling me that, like, Les
you
gotta
Wexner... You got to fall in love... Yes,
has this town in his, like, gap pocket?
Well, you know, the Wolf family, Wexner, Pizzuti.
Back gap.
If you need a tax break.
Right.
Right, or if you're a wealthy
and
developer.
And Pizzuti, yeah, right.
Yeah,
the guy with the museum in the short north. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, amazing. Didn't they used to own an Italian restaurant out there in Grandview once upon a time? Yeah.
Let me think. Was that the Pizzuti?
So... But I'm a little confused. So you went to the NAACP dinner.
I was a panelist. Wasn't a dinner.
A panelist.
It was
okay.
A panel with some fruit. They did have a nice little fruit plate.
A fruit plate. That's a good thing.
Yes, because it was over by a food desert.
Mm.
And I talked about the history. Did you know in 1815, when Columbus became a city, the borough of Columbus, we had 700 people. How many council people did we have?
Three.
Nine.
Nine.
Now we've got 850,000, and we got seven. And originally they were picked from their districts. They were picked by
their
wards.
Neighbors. Right.
Now they're elected at large, right? You got to run across the city, which is massive. So we're in a different world. Is that
That's
in 1911,
say that again.
We had 22 council people from 11 districts.
Mm-hmm.
Two per district. And we even had four socialists on the city council.
Go on. Socialists.
There was tremendous fear that
Wayne LaPierre says
might
they're bad
get elected.
People.
Blacks might get elected.
What's
from the
happen?
Black area.
Tune in next week.
Bring in the white people.
To
we
WGRN
gotta wrap it up.
94.1.
Is the Columbus Council City racist?
The other side of the news.
Check
Bob
in next week.
The trick is Dan Dugan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1, LPFM, The Green Renaissance.